On Saturday, I went to a gay bar. I went to Cubby gay Hole bar. In Greenwich Village. Maybe you've heard of it.
Cubby Hole, my fave. Oh, I miss her. Oh, my God.
My friend invited.
Did you tell her I missed her?
I did. I walked in, I put my hand on the door, and I said, Lena misses you.
I do.
And then she burst into tears. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I love the Cubby Hole.
But my friend invited me. It was like me. It was me and my friend, and then all of her friends who I've never met in my life. Mm-hmm. And literally she kept introducing me to everyone by going, this is my friend Ian. We met in an improv class and he has a Glee podcast, which like, it's not a Glee podcast anymore, but that was splitting hairs. So I wasn't going to shoot her down. Uh-uh. But first and foremost, two of her friends were like, wait, what Glee podcast? And I said, Recovering Gleek. And I said, oh, I've listened to that.
That's so funny.
And I said, that's me. And then these other two random women who were not even in our group just were like, oh, a Glee podcast, and started talking and were chatting with me about it. And then one of them said, I'm going to listen. And you know, lesbians are the most dedicated fan base out there. So we're really going to ride for your podcast.
I love lesbians. Oh my God.
So if you cubbyhole girls are out there listening,
yeah,
we're happy to have you. Welcome to the party.
And if you are looking for a wife, I know a lady who is wife of ball.
Recovering Gleek presents
Slay! A queer Buffy podcast. Hi, my name is Lena.
I'm Ian.
And welcome to Slay! A queer Buffy podcast. We're happy to have you, especially the lesbians.
Yeah.
We love the lesbians. The L is first for a reason. We love you all.
That's okay. We don't, I mean, like, we don't not need to get into this. It's just random. There is this push because the entire world is going conservative now.
Yeah.
Which pisses me off, but it double pisses me off when it's queer people. And I'm like, they don't like you. Like, they don't like you. And there's this push to make it GLBT again.
Oh my God, that literally.
It like makes my blood boil. Learn your queer history.
Yeah.
The reason the L is first for a reason, as you said.
Yeah.
The reason there weren't more deaths in the AIDS crisis is literally because of
lesbians. Like
lesbians
stepped up. Yeah.
Yeah. They earned their spot as the first letter in that acronym.
Ew, that like gives me chills in a really gross way. I don't understand that.
I have a picture. Maybe we'll cut this out. I don't know. I have a picture saved on my phone of all of these gay men in the, I think it's like early 90s, and they're holding up posters and they say like cocksuckers for carpet munchers.
Yes, I love that.
And like fags love dykes.
Yes, I love that.
I haven't saved it on my phone.
A day without sunshine.
Exactly. Come on.
Oh my God.
If you're gay and conservative.
Oh my God.
They don't like you.
They don't like you.
They don't
like
you.
What are you doing? I remember very clearly in college, like the first time in my life, I let myself tell people outright that I was queer. Go like, and also I went, my first year of college was 2016. Like, so I was like incredibly politically involved. I like went to every Wednesday for lunch, I would go to the Politics Center at our college and like go to debates and like try and participate as much as I could. And I was trying to like get involved. And I remember I met this guy and he was really nice and I learned he was gay. And then I saw him again at like Pizza and Politics, this event. And he was like the most diehard Trumper I'd ever met in my life. And I was like, what are you doing? Get out of there. Like, no, please. Coming from inside the house, please. Save yourself. It was insane. And I was like, I can never trust anyone ever again.
Oh.
It was a rude awakening.
The horror in your voice.
The horror that I felt.
Oh, man, that tickled me. That was so funny. Do you want to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I guess so.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I'm really excited to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I'm always excited.
Can you tell how excited we are to talk about this show? Ian has been sending me TikToks all week that he's been making because he is an incredibly hardworking father and we love him. I was watching them and I was like, I cannot believe how happy I am doing this. I cannot mm-hmm. believe how lucky we are to be doing this together and to be talking about this show I love so goddamn much. I feel like we're having a blast. Oh, are you having a blast?
I keep also like watching YouTube videos, like YouTube discourse yeah. about the TV show. I was watching, this was suggested by Patreon. Shout out. I'll say her name. Talk amongst yourselves. By Lexi, patron Lexi. I was watching a video the other day that was about like, what does vampirism mean in the Buffyverse? And is it possession? Is it like a parasite? Is it something else? Mm-hmm. I'm so in it. I'm really having a great time. The show is so good. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Gosh, we're so lucky.
And should we get into...
I would be even more lucky if I was at the cubbyhole right now. It's a close second.
I did talk to someone about Buffy there as well.
Okay.
Because I told exactly one person that it wasn't a Glee podcast anymore. It was a Buffy cast.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my gosh, I love Buffy. And she said, who's your favorite and least favorite character? And she said, I think I have a good idea of what you're going to say. Uh-huh. And I said, favorite character is Anya. And she uh-huh. said, that's what I thought you were going to say. And I said, I'm glad it's on brand. And then I said, and you think I'm going to say Xander for least favorite. And she said, yes. And I said, controversial opinion, not my least favorite. Who did she I said, say?
But I do know a person.
I said, but I know.
To if you're looking for a wife.
Who did I say was my least favorite character?
Angel?
Oh, I did say Angel. Topical! I said Angel. God. I said Angel for reasons we will get into in this episode. I said he's too brooding. I can't take it. He's too brooding. And I stand by that. And watching this episode, he's too brooding. Okay. Let's talk about his episode. That ended up being a much better segue than I anticipated. Wow, that really worked out for me. I'm really happy. I'm very pleased. So, do you want some slacks?
I would love some.
All right. Cue the jingle.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the slacks.
Keeping with tradition, there's not many.
It's so interesting. Buffy has such a rich, rich past. And, like, so many, think pieces, so many, like, YouTube, like, deep dives, so many articles I've read. Not a lot on the Buffy wiki.
This is the issue is, like... The early internet is like the Library of Alexandria, you know?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, most of Buffy discourse was on a chat room called the Bronze. Mm-hmm. And then the Bronze went defunct and all of the chats disappeared with it.
My God.
Just like,
I miss her.
It all went up in flames. We lost so much history there. Whereas Glee, those tweets are still, you can still find the tweets.
Yeah.
So, like, there's plenty. Exactly. To see from that TV show. Mm-hmm. Anyways, here's the information we do have on this episode. We know for a fact, historians are positive that it was the 7th episode of the first season and the 7th episode overall. After much theorizing, most historians do agree that it was written by David Greenwalt, who previously wrote the episode Teacher's Pet, if you remember that one. Teacher's Pet. Thank you, Doris. And it was directed by Scott Brazil. This is a one and done for Scott. He directed this episode and he said, that's enough for me. See ya. Okay. Now, here's where the slacks part of me get a little, we're grasping for straws. Angel's Hugo Boss duster that he wears in this episode is worth over.
Hugo Boss.
Is worth over $1,000. Hey.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it like leather?
I think so. And also, he's a vampire. He's not spending money on food.
He's not spending money on food.
He's got plenty of money to spend. Recently, people have been like, how do vampires...
If I wasn't spending money on
food. Yeah. No, vampires are always rich for a reason. I know like they can't go out during the day, but you don't actually have many expenses. And you live for so long that you just amass wealth.
Oh, my God.
And then you buy.
You become your own generational wealth.
Exactly. The generational wealth starts and ends with Liam. What's his face? What's his last name? I don't remember. Angel. And then you go and you buy yourself $1,000 Hugo Boss dusters.
Yeah.
This is the first episode, according to Buffy Wiki. This is the first episode that had the, like, once in a generation, a chosen one is born prologue, which, if that's true, must mean that it got added into the episodes previous in, like, syndication or on streaming or something.
I bet. I bet.
It is the first episode with a previously on, for sure. But yes. Apparently
Which
also the intro.
That was so fun and exciting.
I was thrilled. I thought there's plot about to happen. We're about
I
to
said,
move the plot forward.
The fuck up.
This isn't the pack anymore, honey. Stuff's actually going to go down in this episode.
Bottle episode, get out
of
here.
No more. Not a standalone. Not a monster of the week.
We're talking about monster of the month.
Yeah. David Greenwalt, who wrote this episode, he's a big Angel fan. He's such a big Angel fan that he would go on to be the co-creator of the Buffy spinoff show, Angel, centered around Angel. Shout out David Greenwalt. He knows what makes this guy tick. And Cordelia in this episode, this is literally, you guys, such a lame fun fact. It's just a fact. No fun.
No fun.
I'm trying to fill the time. That scene when Cordelia's at school and the girl's wearing the same dress as her and she's like, oh my gosh, that has to be a knockoff. This is one of a kind. Uh-huh. And she says, this is what happens when you get these free trade agreements. This is a reference to the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, which went into effect in 1994, which removed most tariffs in trade between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I know, topical right now.
Wait, topical?
Yeah. Topical.
That's all fact and no fun, truly.
Yeah. I mean, NAFTA got defunct in 2020. It hasn't been around for a few years. It got replaced by the USMCA. Mm. And that's why Canada's mad at us, because they're like, you're breaching the USMCA by doing this to us. It's a whole thing. I don't know a lot about it. I know probably 3% about it.
It is so embarrassing to be from America.
It is.
From the States. Jesus.
Yeah, it's a very wild time. Okay, here's the other. This is the other fact. I don't know if it's fun. This episode was viewed by 2.3 million households on its original airing. We have like tiptoed around in previous episodes that were like, we don't really know how much that is for the year. So I said, enough's enough. The internet is at our disposal. We're going to have the Nielsen's rating chat now. We're going to find out.
Okay,
I did the research because obviously the state of TV, live TV, was very different in 1997. And nowadays, 2.3 million would be great. In 1997, 2.3 million households made you the 142nd ranking TV show that was airing on television, which is where Buffy ranked that year. For reference, the top ranking TV show that year was Seinfeld, with an average of 22 million viewers a week.
Oh my God.
So about 10 times as much.
That's really intense.
Yeah, no, live TV was, that's what everyone was doing, baby. So just a view of like Buffy in its entirety and the Nielsen's rating to give us some perspective. Buffy, when it peaked as a TV show, ratings-wise, was season 3. The highest Nielsen's rating it ever got, like an overarching rating for a season, was 5.3. So season 3 of Buffy had an average of 5.3 million people tuning in every week. And, you know, when you think of like Seinfeld's 22 million, that doesn't seem like a lot. However, Buffy was not airing on a big four network. It was not airing on NBC, ABC, CBS, or Fox. Uh-huh. For the WB, Buffy was kind of their first quote-unquote successful show.
Very cool.
Because like 5.3 for the WB was a big deal. To put it in perspective of the WB, the biggest hit show the WB ever had was Dawson's Creek. And Dawson's Creek at its peak was getting 6.6. Buffy at its peak was getting 5.3. So like for the WB, Buffy was a huge success. And in fact, Buffy was such a big success for the WB that it inspired them to retool their entire production and start making content for teenagers. So like we talked about how Buffy influenced Charmed, which was on the WB. It also influenced Dawson's Creek. They literally greenlit Dawson's Creek because they were like, teenagers are watching Buffy. We need another teen show. To put it in perspective of Glee at its peak was getting 10 million viewers, which is in season 2 of Glee.
It's also on Fox.
Exactly. Glee is on one of the big four, so it gets that advantage. Although, like, the big four weren't as prevalent in, like, 2010.
Yeah,
sure. You know, a lot more people were having access to these other TV stations. But still, it's still a boost. But yeah, so that's a perspective of where Buffy was falling in the Nielsen's ratings back in the 90s.
Okay. Thanks for telling us. That was actually a fun fact.
Thank you. And good to know. Thank you. Yeah, it is like obviously on Buffy is big ratings for the WB, but overall like not very impressive ratings, but massive cultural impact because it was a show for teens that teens loved. All right. Now our final slacked is here's some fun alternate titles in alternate languages. Most of them,
I love these.
Most of them, of course, are just Angel. In Finnish, it's Angel of Doom. In Polish, it's Angel of Darkness.
Okay, okay.
In Italian, it's The Guardian Angel. And in German,
interesting.
It's in German, it's Angel hyphen Bloody Kisses.
I love that. Oh my God.
The Germans know how to name an episode.
Bloody Kisses.
Bloody Kisses.
Really, really strong. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, those are your slacks.
That's very cool. Thank you for those slacks. I totally thought for sure you'd tell me that the Master was referencing Spider-Man, which he totally did.
No, he does. That stuff, I'm like, literally, who cares? I'm like, yeah, I've seen
the
movie before,
too.
Who
cares? No, I thought that was funny.
No, I think it's funny. I'm just like, is that a fun fact? Everyone knows that that's Spider-Man.
Okay, cool.
There was another fun fact that I left out that was like, in this episode, the Master says from the mouth of babes about something that Colin says. Xander later says this about blank, but there's no evidence that he's referencing the Master. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. He's referencing the popular English idiom from the mouth of babes. Like he's not, that's not a Master
like,
original.
Remember when the Master said this when I wasn't around? I love that.
Oh my gosh.
I see what they're trying to do. They're just trying to connect them. Find connections.
Yeah, no, and when the Library of Alexandria, aka the Bronze Chat Room, went up in fire, you're really grasping at straws for like special information to put on Buffy Wiki. Yeah. I understand. But some of it, I'm like, that's a reach. So I'm going to leave it out. Or that's common sense. We all know that that's Spider-Man. Yeah. So I just don't bring it up.
Sure. I hear you. I hear you. Was that on Buffy Wiki?
The Spider-Man one? Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. And instead of writing that down, I went and did about 30 minutes of my own research on Nielsen's ratings.
Wow. Look at you.
Hey.
You're dedicated to our cause and I love you for it.
Thanks, babe.
We just make this, the recap is kind of long. I like don't know
it's a plot heavy episode. It is. As we discussed last week. It's the most important episode of season one besides the premiere and finale.
Yeah. So I have a lot to say. And like so much happens in this episode.
Yeah, it's plot.
And I have to tell you, I have more friends who want to tune in. And maybe it's just because we're starting something new. But like I have a book club, which I love very much. And, you know, they love and respect me. And they were like, do I need to watch the episode to tune in? And I'm like, yes, you totally should. But also,
I'll make the recap more detailed.
Yeah, and I do know that like people who have never seen Buffy before are tuning in, including my friends.
But so, I also just think you should. I mean, I love having you tune in. But my hope is that you listen to the podcast and go, actually, this show sounds good.
Exactly. I'm not trying to convert you to the podcast. It's for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Exactly.
I'm trying to spread the good word.
We're being missionaries here.
Exactly. Speaking of, I really almost called the three Nephites in this recap, and I didn't. And I need you to know that before I start. I didn't, but I need you to know before I start that in here it should say the three Nephites, but it only says the three.
I'm gonna cry over that. Okay, heard.
Do you want to hear the recap?
I do.
Okay, let's go. Previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy, Jesus Christ.
Buffy.
Can I take that again? Okay. Okay. Previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Buffy is struggling with her history class and with her weird not boyfriend avoiding her and being creepy all the time. Like, what's his deal anyway? The Bronze is closed for the week to fume the roaches. The Master sends the three to finally put a stop to the Slayer, but Angel comes in and helps Buffy get away. They have a sleepover at her house. Darla kills the three. Angel goes over to Buffy's again, and they totally make out. It starts to get hot and heavy, and then Angel's face totally reveals that he's been a vamp this whole time. What the fuck? Darla goes over to the Summer's house under the guise of helping Buffy study, and she totally bites Joyce. And then Angel comes in to stop her, and then Darla quickly passes Joyce off to him, just as Buffy comes in to see her vampire boyfriend totally feeding on her frickin' mom. She throws Angel out and tells him that if she ever sees him again, she'll kill him. Buffy takes Joyce to the hospital, and she is none the wiser to the vampire attack. Buffy shows up to the Bronze to open a can of whoop-ass on Angel. Angel reveals that he is different than the other vampires that Buffy knows because he was cursed and his soul has been restored, so he feels remorse and hasn't fed on a human since. Darla shows up with two freaking guns and reveals that they totally used to go together. Angel dusts Darla to protect Buffy, and they decide that they cannot be together anymore. They make out, and Buffy's cross burns Angel's neck, and it's super crazy. And that's what you missed on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You referring to Angel and Buffy's like sadomasochist vampire sex murder spree as they totally used to go together? As if they were like going steady. Oh, what did I say?
Use it, Buffy.
I meant Darla. Let me take that again. You referring to Angel and Darla's sadomasochism vampire murder sex spree as they used to go together as if he like pinned her and they were going steady in high school?
That's what I was going for, yeah.
It's very funny.
Thank you.
Also,
I appreciate you saying that.
Darla whipping out the pistols.
I was gagged. I screamed. I knew it was going to happen, but even the way it happens,
like,
it's so awesome. She holds them so silly. I don't know anything about guns, also, but she holds them so silly.
Also, much love. I genuinely like love Julie Benz. I think she's very good at this role.
Never shot a gun in her life. I know it.
Well, and also you mentioned during the harvest that when they had to get the Jesse actor into the prosthetics for the teeth, they realized that the prosthetics were weird and they gave him a lisp. So from that point onward, they started making the prosthetics differently. But Julie Benz's prosthetics were made for the pilot.
I know.
And so you can tell in this episode, there's this moment where she's like, Bullets can't kill vampires. And it was her with the two pistols in a shootout, like she's in an Old West movie, and then talking with a lisp. I was like, this is television. Awesome. This is the greatest piece of film in history.
I was screaming. It is so iconic in a way that nothing can ever touch.
When Buffy pushes her back on the pool table and then kicks it, and Darla, lying on her back on a sliding pool table, is shooting the pistol, shooting the glasses on the bar. I'm going to be straight up. I don't love this episode as much as I should because it's so brooding. It's so brooding. But the moment that Darla whips out those pistols, I was like, and I'm on board. And the rest of the episode, I was on the edge of my seat. It was crazy.
So awesome. The way she like box jumps onto the pool table. God, it's everything.
Darla gone too soon. I'm so serious.
And he's always been sick.
Angel sick. And he's always been sick. She's giving her best Sean Connery up there.
The way she holds those guns. It's so crazy. Right by the
right at the tit.
It's tits up.
She said, remember these, Angelus? Gaga! Va va boom!
And good for her. Darla, you will always be famous. This is some of the most iconic stuff I've ever seen in my whole fucking life. Two guns.
I know. Okay, there's a long history in Buffy. I'll say this and I won't say what characters this is about so that it's not a spoiler. There's a long history in Buffy of characters being added onto the show specifically because they're supposed to die at a certain point. Yes. And then realizing, oh my gosh, this actor in this role is electric. Yeah. And rewriting the story so that they don't die anymore. And I know that if Darla had been introduced like one season later, that would have happened for her.
Yeah.
Tragically, they were so married to the fact. However, it's not true for Darla because Darla was supposed to die in the pilot and they liked Julie Benz. So they had her last through here.
Which I'm so glad they did. They gave her such amazing stuff.
But like Darla, as we said in The Harvest, is the big bad of Buffy. She literally dies six episodes in. She's the big bad of this TV show. I love Darla so much. Thankfully. And now this is, okay. A weight has been lifted now that we're at this episode. Because we have been tiptoeing around. We couldn't mention the fact that Angel's a vampire. Yeah. We just like, and you can't talk about Angel without talking about the fact that he's a vampire.
Yeah.
And not being able to reveal that information, we couldn't reveal so many other thoughts. And I mentioned once again a few episodes ago that I'm like, in my mind, Darla is such a big part of this show. And then when I watch the show back, I'm like, she's barely in it. But the reason she's such a big part of the show in my mind is although we just saw her die, she's a crucial part of Angel's origin story. And as we learn more about Angel, now that we know that he's a vampire, we will in turn learn more about Darla.
Yes.
And we will, in fact, see Julie Benz again on our screen.
We will.
And so, like, in my mind, I'm like, but Darla's always there. But, like, no, she fully is dead six episodes.
Yeah. No, totally. Oh, my God. When the master said she was my favorite.
He said, me too.
Me too.
Something
I was sad to see her go. I honestly, when she was dusted, I was, you know, I was like, no, Darla, please don't go.
It's really tragic.
Yeah.
I love Darla so much. Psychosexual queen.
She is crazy.
The way she orgasms when Angel dusts her.
Oh.
I like... Are you going to tell me I'm wrong?
No.
She's like,
I would never tell you wrong. No, totally.
Nuts.
She's crazy too. When she like shows up to Angel's apartment and he like throws her up against the wall and her arms are up. I was like, first of all, I think I've seen you do this dance before. Mm-hmm. I just know that they've like, that was just crazy. Like I can tell they've done this before. I see the romance here. And also, her being like, and you're hurting me. I like that.
You're hurting me. That's good too.
That's good too. Darla, you're crazy.
Diva.
I love you. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with her.
You need to watch Angel.
Okay. I will.
Because.
I feel like a huge fucking fraud that I haven't seen
Angel. We're here to talk about Buffy.
We're talking about Buffy.
But like, if you want psychosexual Buffy and Angelus shenanigans.
Darla.
I keep saying Buffy. I'm sorry. These blondes, they're the same blondes. To me. Darla. If you want psychosexual Darla Angelus
he's got a type.
Shenanigans.
He's got a type.
You got to check out Angel.
I will.
They were wild. They were crazy.
I will.
They were young, dumb. But we're here to talk about this episode, which is also... I said episode 6 a few times. I meant episode 7.
It's 7.
It's just because it was a 6 episode to air because the first two were like a two-parter, one-night thing. Yes.
So we learned that Angel is a vampire this episode. And I, of course, have always known that he's a vampire. I can't remember not knowing that he was a vampire. But I enlisted a friend. I've only converted one person into watching Buffy ever, and it's my good friend Stephanie. And I talked to her last night and I said, how did you feel? Did you like guess that Angel was a vampire? Which like, you know, I'm sure some people did, but she said she was like, I had like a thought in the back of my head, but she said she was like not clocking that Buffy was only meeting Angel at night. She just thought that like Angel was like a watcher type guy who like had more information than he was like letting on. And she told me that she was like willfully ignoring the signs and was very gagged to learn that Angel was a vampire, which I was very excited to hear. Because honestly, watching the episode last night, I of course have seen this episode, oh my God, probably 200 times. And every time I watch it, it is such a fun reveal.
Yes, it is. They do a good job of, yes, obviously like you only meet him at night and he's like very mysterious, but they give you evidence that he isn't a vampire. Like his first meeting with Buffy, he gives her a cross necklace, which how would he be able to do that if he's a vampire? But we see in this episode, he gets burned by her cross necklace and just like doesn't really care. He's just like, if it's, you know, what she needs, I'll put up with the pain. And then also a reveal I think is so good in this episode is we learn the crucial part of vampire lore that I love that so few vampire stories make use of, which is they can't come into your home unless they're invited. And we learn this piece of lore from Angel as he's standing in Buffy's home. So then we're like, oh, well, he walked into her house. But it is very like blink and you'll miss it. Where as they're running from the three, she throws open the door and she says, come on, or like come in or something super quickly. They just like do little like hints like that to kind of throw you off the scent. I also, when I first watched this, did not think he was a vampire. I was about in Stephanie's lane where I was just like, he's like a mysterious, I don't know, like watcher-esque individual.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And like maybe the thought was there, but Buffy likes him so much.
Yeah.
I also think too, Angel is really different than the other vampires. Like they all are like murderous and, you know, evil. And Angel is not evil. And we learn that he feels remorse and he like, you know, is different than all the vampires she knows. So I mean, that is probably really different to watch as an audience member, to see the different behaviors in them.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point, which is something that I have also been wanting to talk about, but I couldn't talk about until now. Angel is proto Edward Cullen. Oh, 100%. Yeah. The popularity of Edward Cullen, the character of Edward Cullen, is just a consequence of the popularity of Aaron Angel. Exactly.
Yeah.
I was watching a YouTube video the other day because I remember when Twilight was big, that all the Twilight haters, there was a t-shirt that was going around that would be like, Buffy would have staked Edward. And I was watching a YouTube video the other day where they were like, I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer so much, but let's be real. No, she wouldn't.
She would make out with him.
Angel is Edward. Yeah, she would have been in love with him. Mm-hmm. There are so many Edwardisms. The whole like, I drink blood, but like it doesn't count. You know, Edward only drinks animal blood, whereas Angel's like stealing blood from blood drives.
Yeah.
And the whole, I'm in love with this person, but I also, they're a danger to me. And then specifically I keep spying on this person. Angel just watching Buffy from across the bronze. I said, I've seen this before. This is Edward watching Belle sleep.
Oh my God.
I've been here.
I'm here today in my Twilight t-shirt to represent. I'm also a Twihard. And also, like, I feel like Edward styling, even them casting Robert Pattinson, like, he just looks like David Boreanaz to me. This picture, you couldn't tell me this isn't David Boreanaz from afar. I'm just showing him my t-shirt. But
also, and I love Robert Pattinson genuinely, and I think he's incredibly talented. Yeah, the acting choice to just be like constantly looking a little pained and constipated in every take.
Uh-huh.
Very Angel coded.
Very Angel coded.
The whole like, I have one emotion I'm giving you, and that emotion is repression and pain.
Yep, repression and pain. Yeah. It's so interesting too. I mean, obviously I've never been a vampire, but like, in like so many vampire stories, like the act of kissing and like being sexual becomes feeding, which I'm always like, oh, what? This is delicious and romantic to me.
Because feeding is very sexual. You know, like the whole,
oh my God, yeah.
the whole like vampire mythos. How do you pronounce that? I think it's mythos.
Mythos. I think it's mythos, like a myth.
No, like mythos. Mythology.
No, I like that.
Like in the vampire mythology, you know, all of these very, speaking of repressed pain, all of these very repressed, kind of like Victorian people when sex and everything was taboo.
Yeah.
Bram Stoker was like, oh, and then this dude bites their necks. And everyone was like, oh, I felt a quiver down under reading about that. Like it's, it is purposely
totally
extremely sexual. It is all a fable for like sexuality and how enticing it is to have sexual relations with this alluring figure. And then also like the danger that that brings. Mm-hmm. So of course, a little kissy kissy brings out your vamp face.
Damn, I've been there.
You ever been making out and then you're like, oh, the vamp face came out.
You're like, ah!
Yeah. Gigs totally. Up, I'm ugly.
Gigs up, I'm ugly. How did you feel seeing him in the vamp face for the first time? I know you hate that.
I mean, I'm watching Angel, so I'm used to it.
Oh, you're used to it.
I'm seeing him in the vamp face every episode, so.
Oh my God. It's so awesome. I'm so glad he's a vampire.
I do like, I don't know, when... And I'm, this is not a critique because, first of all, Darla gone too soon, mastermind. The way she puppet mastered the situation that so that Buffy would walk in on Angel full vamp face holding an unconscious Joyce with two bite marks in her neck.
Yeah.
Darla, you're an icon. You're so smart. You were gone too soon.
Yeah.
But the way that Angel isn't immediately like, let me explain. And said,
this is what it looks like.
He's just like snarling and growling at her, which I believe is, you know, not to make a sexual analogy again, but also to make a sexual analogy again, because this is what they're going for. It is kind of supposed to be like vamp face is when you are like the horniest you ever are, where then once you're not horny anymore, you're like, why did I do that? And so it is kind of like, he's like so vamped over. He's so hungry in that moment that he's not thinking rationally to be like, this isn't what it looks like.
And that's what I think it is.
Yeah. It is just like everything in him is like, I want to drink this woman's blood, but also
and
I shouldn't.
And it's like probably the first time he's been near like
a living person's blood. Neck. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it also, is... you go.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I will go ahead.
I forgot.
I feel like I'm talking a lot.
No, I like what you're saying.
Thank you. This episode is also, it takes us, the Angel story takes us on a journey, specifically with the vampire impulses being an analogy, a metaphor for libido. It takes us on a journey of like, Buffy knows this guy and it's like really cool that he's mysterious and older. And she like really, that's, she finds that very exciting and like, oh my gosh, these guys in my school, so lame, but like this mysterious adult man finds me attractive. And that makes me really excited. And then specifically like she has to invite him into her home, which feels, you know, there's many interpretations, but like she is inviting this man into her life. And then the moment that she kisses him, the moment things turn into sexual in nature, she finds out he's not what I thought. He's a monster.
Yeah.
And it, that, the whole like being a vampire is being horny, I think is intentional for that story.
Yes.
That it's like, you don't actually, sometimes mysterious is cool and sexy. Sometimes mysterious is actually dangerous and scary. And you don't actually know who that person is until you're in a compromising situation with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thought.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Ugh. And then they try and kill your mom.
And
that, I don't, like, I mean, it's always rough when you, like, make out with someone, have sex with someone, whatever, and they're not who you thought. That's always rough. But the amount of times that then immediately after they try and kill your mom, it's like, again?
I know. It's like... Why do I keep being in this situation?
Seriously, it's like,
at
what point am I the problem? If I'm bringing all these men home and they're consistently trying to kill my mom, at what point do I look in the mirror and I say, we need to work on ourselves for a bit?
Yes.
What am I putting into the world that is attracting men who want to kill my mom?
What is it about you that attracts
me? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Wow. We really need to unpack this.
I find all these men on Craigslist. We meet sight unseen.
Okay.
I go into misconnections. I say searching someone, preferably unattached, preferably someone with abandonment issues who has a bad relationship with their mother. Older, mysterious, watches me from afar.
Yeah. I'm not seeing
never says more than five sentences to me. I know. Yeah. I don't get it.
I'm not seeing it, but.
Yeah, I just don't want to go on the apps. It's just hookup culture on the apps. And Craigslist people are actually looking for meaningful connections.
No, they're looking for meaningful connections. Yep. Even when you're looking for unattached people, they're actually looking for meaningful connections.
Because I can fix them. It's because I can fix them.
We talk about Angel, Buffy walking in on Angel, like feeding on her mother. She handles that like a champ. Mm-hmm. I cannot... I feel like I'm always saying this. I would have killed him. I can't stop. I don't think I'm the murderous man from Craigslist, but maybe I am. I would have killed Angel. And I understand she likes him so much. She feels so deeply for him to have him. And I know that, of course, she doesn't have a whole story, but even just to see that, I was like putting myself in that situation. And if I saw someone doing that to my mother, their ass is grass. Mm-hmm. She handled it like, obviously, I'm glad she handled it how she did, because there's more to learn here. It wasn't the full story. Darla did set this up. And, you know, I was like, oh my God. She just threw him out. And she's like, if you come around here again, I'll kill you. I would be like, your ass is grass. I'll see you at the flagpole. I don't know. It was insane. And that she has the wherewithal to even like call an ambulance. Mm-hmm. And thank God Joyce doesn't remember what happened. And oh my God, I would have killed Angel. However,
Joyce comes back from the hospital and she's like, okay, I must have slipped and I poked my neck and I bled out. How did our window get broken? Now, what happened there?
Well, she hasn't seen it yet.
But she's going to.
When she comes home.
Yes. I'm like, what's that explanation?
I wonder if Giles has connections.
He was like, get that window fixed.
Yeah, he's like, get it fixed. I mean,
he probably does. I imagine the Watchers Council, that's probably like a big part of their job.
Oh, yeah. It's like clean up.
It's like, yeah, cover up stuff. And then they plant a barbecue fork on the floor of the kitchen. You're like, you just forgot buying it, Joyce. You've always had it.
Don't have one.
What are you talking about? It's right there.
It's on the ground.
This is like not a spoiler, but it's not something we've really seen yet. But as the show goes on, we learn that like the Watchers Council, it's not just like Giles. Like there are Watchers on Watchers. Mm-hmm. And there is one Slayer. So these dudes have to be doing something. So they better be cleaning up these messes, because otherwise, what are they doing? Sitting on their asses all day while Rupert Giles has to spend every waking moment keeping this teenage girl alive?
I have so many thoughts on this I can't share with you. I have so many thoughts on this I can't share with you.
No, we'll get there.
Oh my God.
Okay, what can you share with me?
I love this episode. I think I like Angel brooding in this episode. Obviously, it gets grating after some time, but even like there's this shot where... like Darla comes into his apartment and he is like, what are you doing here? Get out of my apartment. You know, he is like being really mysterious and crazy. And Dave Boreanaz, you're kind of a bad actor sometimes.
Oh, I'm not going to say kind of. Okay. He gets better as time goes on.
He does. And but, heaven knows you I probably mean, would. But
let us, lest we forget.
He was picked up. He was handpicked.
He was hired because he was hot, not because he was talented.
And you know what? He's a good actor for someone who was just walking their dog.
They didn't see him performing a monologue on that street. They saw him walking and looking sexy. And they said, that's our guy. Sexy.
But there's this shot. And I'm so interested to hear that this director never directed again, because there's so many fun, iconic shots here that mm-hmm. are like just really, I don't know, just really exciting. But he is like so intensely side lit. And like half of his face is gone. It's awesome. And then so many like upshots as like shots from below, mm-hmm. many like, you know, Dutch angle, whatever the hell, like things are happening. And I was like, the director is kind of popping off on this episode.
If we're talking about the cinematography, my favorite shot, not to bring it back to the gunfight, my favorite shot in this episode back. There's a shot of Darla with the two pistols shooting and she's backlit. So yes. she's a silhouette and then outlined in like green and red light mm-hmm. of just her hair flying as the pistols shoot. And the pistols are also, it's like an old timey Western sound effect. So it's yes. just
like pew, pew, pew.
The glowing outline of Darla's hair flying and you're like, pew, 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 pew.
It's so funny too. I'm so glad you mentioned the bottles are exploding.
It literally,
like we're in a saloon.
No, it is like a Clint Eastwood. Like it is a throwback to old West awesome. Movies.
Oh, and I think that's on purpose too. Like even like Buffy throwing her crossbow down and like kicking it and like picking it up. Like mm-hmm. this is a shootout.
It's a shootout. We're at the saloon.
And it's
the Bronze.
Funny, but it's also so. Fucking iconic. It's very fun.
Yeah, and that's what I love about this TV show. This whole episode is very plot heavy, very dramatic, pretty serious. And the climax of the episode, they're like, and then what if it was a crazy shootout at a saloon?
And I love it. Can we talk about, we learn how old Angel is in this episode.
Oh, yes, we actually do need to talk about this.
And so we knew he was older and she knew he was older and Angel says, I'm older. And Buffy says he's in his first year at community college. She knows he's older. Buffy's 16. Angel, you're disgusting to me. Angel, you may be sexy, but fuck, are you a pedophile?
Yes.
And to learn that he's 240 and that she's 16. What the fuck?
And also, like, to talk about Edward Cullen for a second.
Him too.
When Edward Cullen gets the hots for Bella, it's also gives me pause.
Yeah.
But Edward Cullen,
he's
stuck
at 17.
Exactly. Like, he was changed at 17, and I'm still like, that feels like a loophole, and I don't trust it. But, like, he was changed at 17.
But it is a loophole, nonetheless. Yeah.
Yeah. Angel, Liam, what's his face? What is his last name? He was not. He was fully an adult.
Born Liam in Galway.
They're not going to tell me his last name.
And what the hell? It just says Liam.
There is in Galway, in Ireland, there is a plaque that says, I'll read it to you. Hold up. Okay. In Galway, this plaque says O'Malley. We'll say that's true. There is a plaque that says, on this site in April 1753, Liam O'Malley was bitten by a vampire and went on to become the most feared monster in all of Europe. He later changed his name to Angel and found fame in the 1997 hit TV series Buffy the Vampire
Whoa!
Slayer.
So it was O'Malley.
O'Malley, Liam O'Malley. But Thomas that's what this O'Malley, plaque the says. Alley-cat. They might have just picked a name.
I like it.
Okay, I do
O'Malley's
too.
O'Malley's good. Okay, so Liam O'Malley.
Liam O'Malley got changed.
You know what? You and I need to personally make it our mission.
To go to Galway and see this?
Well, yeah, that sounds fun. I was going to say update Cleveland. I was going to say update Buffy Wiki.
We were on different pages. We were on different pages there. Liam was an adult. Like, Edward pre-vampire. Edward pre-vampire could have fallen in love with Bella and it would have been like, okay, cool. It's still creepy because his mind has been growing, so it's still creepy. But Liam pre-vampire,
but like a part of him stuck at 17.
Exactly.
Yes.
Liam pre-vampire, girl, you're still like 30 years old.
Do you know how old
David Boreanaz is 28, I believe.
In
this episode.
Okay. Do you think he was like 28 when he was changed?
I think so. Like we see. No spoilers. We see video, like flashbacks of Liam, of Vampire Angel, of Liam. And he is an adult. He's not some kid. They don't tell us like, hey, he's 28 years old, but I do not believe he's like 16, 17. He seems to be an adult man.
He was 26, according to ATS.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Yeah. So it's suspicious. Vampire media does this all the time.
They do. And I mean, to put a vampire slayer in high school, to put her in high school, to tell us the story that high school is hell, to tell us the story that growing up is hell, she has to be this young. But in order for her to fall in love with a vampire, I mean, he could be like changed at 17 and now he's actually 27, but that's not like as fun as showing me
yeah
that he is 240. So I understand where it comes from, but also what the hell? I hate pedophiles.
You know, it comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory. It comes with the territory.
If it's vampire media, this is going to be the gag. He's going to be old as shit. And for whatever reason, vampire media is always about like a teenage girl with this man who's, because even like in Dracula, which I mean, back in the 1890s, society was different about this kind of stuff. But I'm pretty sure that Mina is like 17 as well.
Yeah.
And Dracula's like, honey bear. So it is what it is.
I also, baby. I mean, that's also like kind of across fantasy as well now. I mean, I feel like every fantasy novel I've ever read is always teenage girl plus 500-year-old man.
Yes. Which
and how she needs to save the world. So, and I love that. But
you tell me if you feel like this is true or not. Because I don't know what it's like to be a girl. I feel like observing the girls around me as a teenager, specifically the theater girls and how obsessed they were with the Phantom of the Opera. It is a common fantasy that I saw that it was like this older, mysterious 100%. Man is going to see that I am special and I am chosen and I'm different than my peers and they're going to choose me.
Yeah,
100%. And so it is like that wish fulfillment that is.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying like it comes to the territory. It is like, obviously, if this was the real world, Angel would be a pedophile. But also, if this is the real world, Angel wouldn't be a vampire because vampires don't exist. And so it is like, I want to acknowledge that, like, what the fuck is that about? But also, I don't actually care that
also,
much.
This is fantasy.
Because exactly. It's fantasy. Right. And that is a wish fulfillment. I knew a girl in high school who would write. I've mentioned this before on this podcast because I'm still like, what was going on with you? She would write messages to her, like write to herself from the Phantom of the Opera on her test papers, wishing her good luck on the test.
I love that.
Which I was like, I mean, if it works for you, it works for you. But also, he's canonically middle-aged and a murderer. I hope you're aware. So I think if Buffy Summer's fantasy is that she wants to be with a man who's 30 years old and a murderer and she lives in a fantasy world, who am I to say boo?
And I'm glad you're saying it too. And I can also speak to this. I think there is an intense feeling when you're growing up in general, but especially growing up as a girl / femme person where the And also when you're like dating boys as well, boys, when you are 17 are so stupid. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's and like you are so far emotionally advanced than the boys you're dating that it is honestly, it is an intense experience and it makes you feel nuts. So I completely felt that fantasy, had that fantasy of no one gets me at my school. I'm going to meet some guy on my college walkthrough and he's going to finally understand me and take me far away from this fucking place.
Yeah.
Like, of course, I think that that is only normal. And girls are, and I mean, I also think that this is a thing that men use to prey on young girls.
Oh, absolutely. Is that,
you know, the boys your age don't understand you, but also they don't. So I get what you're saying. And also, this is par for the course with fantasy and vampire media. So I'm glad we're mentioning it. But it's also like,
yeah,
this is a part of this story.
Yeah.
So we will continue to talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's true that.
I used to think Doctor Who was going to like go like outside my house, outside my class, and I'd see it through the window and be able to run away finally. And then me and Matt Smith would have furious, passionate makeout sessions on the board of the TARDIS.
As much as the annoying part of me is like, oh my gosh, this like overly dramatic romantic stuff is just so dumb. I have to admit, she's a vampire slayer, he's a vampire, but they're in love with each other. Like, that's the story of the ages. Shakespeare wished he came up with that.
No, he did.
Capulets versus Montagues? I don't think so. Vampires versus vampire slayers.
Oh my God. Even last night, I felt this way. I was like, shit. She is so obsessed with this guy. She loves him. Mm-hmm. He is, in some way, she feels as though he is like the only person who understands her, and she's met him like four times. Like he like speaks to a part of her that like no one else understands. And maybe that is because he's a vampire and gets it. But she is so obsessed with him. And then learning that it is the ultimate forbidden love. Oh my God, I love it. I love it so much. I'm obsessed. She is literally a vampire slayer. It's her job. Everyone is like, even Xander is like, hello, the writing's on the wall here. You're the slayer. And even Giles is like, yeah, I feel like it's your duty, dog. And she's like, I can't have anything good on this planet. Mm-hmm. Even the one guy who like made me excited to be living a life, I can't have him at all. Oh my God, I'm obsessed. No, girl, yeah. I'm obsessed. And I understand what you're saying. He is broody as all hell, but oh my God, I love it. I can't stop.
I find the Buffy angle compelling. I find, yes. I just like, Buffy rocks. She's an incredibly well-rounded character. So when Buffy is like extremely emotional or brooding, I'm on board because I also see her be silly and lighthearted. Like she's multifaceted. Angel gets on my nerves because I'm like, can we try a different flavor? Like, oh yeah. My God, yeah. I cannot see you feel the same way for 100 straight episodes. But the whole like Buffy's relationship with Angel and the pain that it causes her, and yet like she still wants to be with him, I find very compelling. So I'm on board. And specifically, I think it makes the Xander dynamic very, I think that what I'll say, the Xander parallel is very interesting.
Yes.
Where it is like, here is a guy that is her age, that is a human, that is, for all intents and purposes, in the world of the show, a nice, solid guy. Like, yeah, he's mm-hmm. kind of dumb.
Like, the perfect guy for her, maybe.
Exactly. Like, yes, he's kind of dumb. Yes, he's kind of a buffoon. He's also 17, every 17-year-old boy is. Yeah. But, like, she could have a solid, safe life with this guy. And then here's this guy who is like mysterious and older and sexy and complicated and is also the polar opposite of her, and they could never ever be together. And yet that's the guy that she's interested in. That's the one that she loves. That's the one that she is drawn to, and she has no interest in the safe, reasonable option. Yeah, and I just think that's a really fun, interesting parallel to have in the TV show.
It is. It is. To show the differences between like the way she's like talking to Willow about how much she loves him and about how much she, you know, she doesn't say she loves him, but how much she cares for Angel and how excited he makes her. And then to even cut to, and this is like to show that Willow is also feeling similarly about Xander, but to cut from Angel to then Xander being silly and then stepping on Cordelia's toes and then saying she looks like, oh my God, what does he say? He says she looks like a hooker. Xander, hey. You're on my list. But I mean, you know, it's just like an insane juxtaposition, these two characters. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Another trope I love is when they get to a place and they have to go down for the night and there's only one bed.
I've been on
AO3. I've read a romance novel or two. And I love it when there's only one bed. That shit makes me cheer. That shit makes me jump up and go, yippee! I love when there's only one bed. And he's a gentleman. He sleeps on the floor. And I love when that happens too. But I also love when they kiss. Oh my God. I seriously was like, this is a romance novel. I'm obsessed.
They walk up to Buffy's room and Buffy's like, oh my gosh, there must be some sort of mistake. The person at the front desk said there'd be two beds. And Angel's like, Buffy, this is your house.
This is your room.
You literally knew that there was going to be a single twin bed. God.
There's only one room.
She's like, so embarrassing. If I had realized this was going to happen, I never would have invited you to stay over.
It's crazy too, because it's always after a, like some sort of big thing that they have mm-hmm. to go hunker down mm-hmm. somewhere, like after a battle. And that they literally are at the battle of the three Neophytes. I was like, I think I've read this story before. I really loved it. I was so excited. And then her like telling everyone that that he slept over and how excited she was. And
that was the other thing to make the Xander versus Angel parallel. Two episodes ago, we had the long conversation about how Xander, dumb 17-year-old, was trying to sneak a peek when Buffy was changing behind him. Angel, 240-year-old gentleman, he did not attempt to sneak a peek.
Not sneak a peek.
That is, I do genuinely.
Yeah.
I find that parallel between those two characters that will continue to be present in this show very intriguing. I like it a lot.
I didn't even notice that part. That's such a good thought.
Thanks, babe. Wow, and also Angel, speaking,
you may be a pedophile, but you're a gentleman.
But you're a gentleman about it.
You're a gentleman.
You might be kissing kids, but you will not turn your back when they're changing.
And I love that. Can I also, I have to make fun of Angel for something. I'm kind of jumping around, but I'm just so excited. I love this episode. I remember watching this episode as a kid and as a teenager and just being so excited. Anyway. There's the part where they get hot and heavy. They start making out. That was like the most kissing I'd ever seen to that point. When I watched, they are kissing. And then he turns into a vamp and then she screams and then he dives out of the window and he swims down the roof in the grossest way. It does give me the ick. Sorry, Angel. It's disgusting the way he swims down the house.
He's trying to be discreet. He's trying to sneak. Bad. He doesn't want to draw attention.
He can't go feet first. He has to swim.
Well, because it was reactionary.
He has to look like the mom on the ceiling in Hereditary, swimming on the walls.
It was reactionary. He got embarrassed. He was full uggo face in front of his girl. He got embarrassed. He was like, I got a GTFO. Jumped headfirst out of the window without thinking. He can't take that. You know how much time it would take to like open the window, go feet first? And now he's halfway down the roof. He's already headfirst. Might as well commit. Might as well commit.
You can't.
You're telling me.
You can't convince me.
You're telling me it would not have given you the ick for him to dive out feet first, land, and then sit on his butt, turn his body, and then crab walk down the roof. Tell me that's better. You'd rather see him do that?
In my mind, he could like shove open the window, grab the ledge, and then like swing out and like jump out of the window that way.
Like clear the roof? Like yeah, jump clear over the roof.
Well, I mean, he's like Superman. He can.
I mean, he
like,
does jump to the bound. Second floor of the Bronze from the billiard table. So
he can jump. I mean, Darla can shoot guns and have no like power, like
no throwback.
No
what
throwback.
Is that called?
They're
kickback.
Very
kickback.
I don't know. I don't know any guns. So I assume they're strong. He can he can jump off a built. He can clear a roof in a single bound.
He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed.
You know, if you're saying he's embarrassed.
Sometimes if like, you're uncomfortable, it's hard to perform. Shame. Exactly. Exactly. He was like, I swear, this normally isn't a problem for me. I normally can clear the roof.
But I have to scoot down it.
Buffy's like, it's okay. Right, this happens to every guy. Sometimes you have to scoot on the roof. It's okay.
It's okay. We can do other stuff.
We can go down the stairs. It's fine. We can clear the roof another night.
Do you want to go this way? There's another way. I'm not. You're not just here to clear the roof. You can do other stuff.
I also love that scene because once his vamp face comes out, it does this intense music like and then the second the camera cuts back to her after he slides down the roof, the music just cuts out. It's like extremely intense music for 4 seconds and then it cuts out
and also it's silent. Yeah,
and also her letting out a blood curdling scream. Joyce running into the room, what's wrong, Buffy? Oh, I saw shadow.
I'd be like, oh, you had a vampire in your room. I know it.
Yeah.
I would know.
A vampire just scooted down that roof. I wasn't born yesterday, Buffy Summers.
I know that scream. I can differentiate your screams. I am your mother. I can differentiate your screams.
I can tell.
That was a vampire scream. That wasn't I saw a shadow scream.
Also, earlier that night, she was lying about having a friend over, and that friend was a 30-year-old man.
Oh, my God.
I do feel like I would be like, okay, Buffy, I was not born yesterday. You are
that man
boning that man and he was here.
Yeah.
This is a bad situation.
She doesn't tell Joyce that Angel is staying over.
No, she does the fake out where she's like, she does bye, let's do the study thing tomorrow, closes the door, and Angel is standing behind the door. No, I love you, Joyce. Yeah. I do think you fumbled this one.
Oh, this one's
the
bad.
Writing was on the wall, and you did not put the pieces together.
No, especially like, I would be like, Buffy, she says it's really late to be studying, and also like, why is she studying with this handsome guy from college? Alone in their house? My mom would freak the fuck out.
And specifically, when Joyce comes home, Buffy isn't like, hey, mom, I have a friend over. She's like, hey, mom, you seem really tired. You should go to bed away.
Go to bed now. Yeah.
Joyce, girl, let's open up our eyes.
I know.
Let's take a look at the world around us.
Let's take a look.
What's going on?
Can we also, this poor Angel, I mean, Buffy, the way that she is taking care of this man, like he's a human, honestly, I was like, this is sad. Where she is like tending to his wounds, which I mean, his wounds are real, but like also like bringing him food and like having him sleep at her house to like protect him. Oh my God. And Buffy, you poor girl. This sucks.
Angel eating the food. Like, I don't know how this is supposed to help, but sure.
Oh,
whatever,
God.
I guess.
Hey, Edward Cullen ate the pizza once, so.
Hey. Darla coming up to the Summer's house. I love, call me basic, I love the trope of villain goes, like, visits family member who doesn't know they're the villain.
Mm-hmm.
The tension, I love the dramatic irony of it. I love being in on the secret and the family member doesn't know. That shot of Darla, first of all, prank queen, Darla ding-dong ditching the Summer's house before she knocks on the front door. Just like makes noises in the back door and just so she can peek through the window and be like, hee!
She loves a prank.
She's such an artiste. That's what I respect about her.
Yeah.
Some vampires, they're just there to get a quick bite. Darla is an artiste.
I also love when she kills the three Nephites, the three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and she's so excited.
Oh, she's so excited. And I mean, there's something so interesting too about, they make such a big deal about the three. Like the master is like, finally, we're gonna get Buffy. The Slayer is done for. I'm enlisting the three.
Literally, there's like a chapter about them in one of Giles's books. That's how big of a deal they are.
Oh, they're a huge deal. And then, because they failed in getting Buffy one night, they don't even try again. Like, the master's like, okay, I'll spare you. And then Darla kills them. I was like, okay, what? Like, we were so excited about the three. Why are we killing them?
It irritated me at first, and then I thought about it, and I think it's kind of funny, and I like it. I like vibe. I like the vibe that the Order of Aurelius is like a college fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
Where they take themselves so seriously. They are so like, we are. There was a club at my high school called the Gentleman Scholars Club. And it was full of the biggest douchebags you've ever met in your entire life. And the whole vibe of the Gentleman Scholars Club was, it was all these boys who were like, we are men and we're like, you know, old-fashioned, like, all-American, awesome men, and we're the backbone of society, and we are, like, the cream of the crop, yada, yada, yada. And at the end of the day, it's like, are you really, or are you just a bunch of stupid 16-year-old douchebags?
Yeah,
and I like that the Order of Aurelius has that vibe.
Gives that vibe.
That it is, they are all pomp and circumstance, they're so self-important, mm-hmm. they do all of these rituals, they're so like, we are the rulers of the demon world. But at the end mm-hmm. of the day, the three literally outnumbered her and were defeated within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then had to give up their lives because of it. Like, it's just funny to me that they're so self-important and then step in it every single episode. I think it's silly.
I love that. I like that.
The Gentleman Scholars of the Demon World, the Order of Aurelius.
A Gentleman Scholar, thank God I've never heard of that.
Their slogan, the slogan of this club because they were like, we're the, I mean, this was their justification to get it past the school board, was we're the tip of society, we're the cream of the crop. So their slogan was just the tip.
You're kidding. See, that ship
pisses me high school,
off
baby.
So much. That ship pisses me off so much. And I think it speaks to a thing that I hate so much about toxic masculinity and the patriarchy mm-hmm. is like, they are going to tell you to your face that they are better than you and then like make it a joke as well. Like they don't even, oh my God. Oh my God. Thank God that wasn't at my school. That sucks.
Hey.
Hey. Oh my God. So I get what you're saying though. I think that's kind of fun.
I think it's kind of camp and stupid.
Like, they cannot get Buffy.
And then the fact that like the three who are these centuries old warriors who take such pride in what they do are so unable to capture Buffy. And then Darla has to be like, let me do it, let me do it, let me do it, let me do it. Finally, the Master's like, okay, you can do it. And ultimately, Darla is defeated. But she does it with such ease, and she has such an incredible master plan, and she gets so close to succeeding.
She does. She literally is like, these boys bringing fists, I'm bringing guns.
Exactly. She
and
said,
I'm gonna play with her before
pow, pow.
Her mom. You're so right. Like, no one could get as close as Darla did. Like, wow. That is powerful. And it's these Ordo of Aurelius. I think you really need to get more women on your council. You cannot be making decisions without them.
It speaks a lot to people's bullshit titles and credentials. That's what I'm trying to say. People's like bullshit credentials where you can have, there could be 100 people in the room and 99 of them. There can be two people and they are both equally capable of getting the job done, or person A could actually be more capable, mm-hmm. but because person B comes from a place of privilege, they're going to get the job. It's the whole exactly. like, I have this job title, and so people just assume that I'm smarter. It really bothers me. You know, I just like see movies and TV shows, and I occasionally will see an actor who is just doing such a bad job.
Such a
bad job. And I'm like, but the reality is because they had whatever big break back in the day, or because their parents are connected or whatever, mm-hmm. they
or
will
because they have X amount of Instagram followers.
Exactly. They will continue to get the job because they have that credential. Whereas I know like 50 people personally who are such a better actor than them who are not even going to get in the room. And I kind of think it's fun that the Order of Aurelius feels at least to me like a commentary on that. That it's like, yeah, the three like have a whole chapter on them. That doesn't mean that they're good. It just means that they were lucky.
Yeah. Oh my God. I like that a lot.
Hey.
I like that. Oh, you are so. Your takes are awesome.
Thanks, babe. I am so excited
to be sharing a podcast with you because you're always doing fun, like saying things that are awesome. And I love you.
I'm so happy to be doing a podcast with you.
Oh my gosh, Order Aurelius. I know so many of them. I know so many of them. Mm-hmm.
It's like that's true adulthood is when you find out that 70% of the time people's titles mean nothing and they actually don't know anything more than anyone else.
Yep, totally. Yep. You can watch it. I'll watch any commercial and be like, I could do literally any of that, but because that person did XYZ, they can. They just get an opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Also, speaking of Order of Aurelius, I do think it's kind of fun. I love that it's kind of like a three men and a baby scenario where it's like, their like group is like, it takes a village. They're all raising the anointed one. I think that's so silly. And I love that they fully call it out, where the master even says, like, see, we are learning and teaching each other. That's what a family is supposed to be.
I know. Honestly, there was even the moment where, like, the anointed one, like, he was, like, trying to, like, make the master feel better about Darla dying. And then they walk away holding hands. I was like, aw, father and son.
So you see, the single father.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's a village situation, but I do think it was, like, Darla was the mom, the master was the dad.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And now it's a single dad situation.
Mm-hmm. Poor anointed one. He keeps losing parents.
I know.
I'm nervous for him.
Ooh. He's going to end up on Craigslist.
Oh, God. He's got the funniest voice. It really jarred me at first.
And here's the gag.
What's the gag?
This is a little kid. This is a very little kid. Yes. So I understand.
It's a child. It's a baby.
But as is the case with a lot of little kids, Lil Haley Joel Osment Light, he's not acting. He's just saying words. I think they put the voice changer on him to do a lot of heavy lifting and disguise the fact that he's just reading the words off a piece of paper. But then when he put a voice, it's like, he's just reading the words off a piece of paper. Suddenly he seems menacing.
Hey, it is honestly very jarring to see this. He's probably 5 or 6. Like, I can't tell how old kids are, but this baby.
He's somewhere between 3 and 14.
But to have this voice, I was like, oh my God. And then it took me a second to realize like, oh, it's a voice changer. Oh, it's like kind of several voices. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But also I like that. I think like, you know, let's help this kid.
Yeah. Let's give him some training wheels. Help him be a little spookier.
I literally was like, hello, what the hell is that? Can you believe that her necklace burnt his neck?
Yeah, no, that's also very...
Did you love that? Did you hate that?
No, I loved that.
I loved it too. I thought it was awesome.
Sometimes the gothic drama of Buffy, it's not draw into the show.
Yeah.
But moments like that, I'm like, okay, no, that was cool and badass. He's so in love with her that he accepts the cross burning him just so he can be close to her. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You got me. That's cool.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is so short compared to David Boreanaz. I can tell she's on an apple box so that their necks can touch. It really made me laugh. That's one thing I love. As a tall person, I feel like I'm... And especially a tall woman, I feel like I'm really conscious of people's height differences. And that's something that I notice a lot. Like Moulin Rouge.
Ewan McGregor is tiny, tiny.
Ewan McGregor is like 3 inches shorter than Miss AMC.
Yeah.
So like I can always tell when he's on an apple box by her. So I'm like, I feel like I have a sixth sense for the apple box. And they were employing the apple box so that their necks could touch. Yeah. Laughed.
Hey.
What other thoughts do I have? Honestly, this episode is really fun. It is the gothic drama of it all, B, the saloon shootout of it all. I think that there are so many fun, awesome things happening here. Be teasing this guy to us for 7 episodes and like having him in the background and helping Buffy, but be very mysterious and exciting. And she's wearing his jacket. And then to reveal that he is the ultimate forbidden love. I'm obsessed. No, I really like it. And I mean, I have complicated feelings about Angel that we'll continue to talk about. But in this moment, I am grade A obsessed. I love it.
I also like the bronze as a set piece in this episode a lot. Mm-hmm. I think the concept of a fumigation party is very fun, small town.
Very fun. Yeah.
I love...
And they do a pre and post fumigation party.
I think that's really fun.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
And then, of course, having the fumigation party so that we have justification for the bronze being completely empty for the shootout. Mm-hmm. It's just so much more exciting to have this very personal battle for Buffy Summers happen in a location that we're familiar with instead of like... in some random mausoleum somewhere.
Yep, totally.
And also because Darla is an artiste, you know that she wants the shootout to happen somewhere that is traumatic for Buffy.
Yeah.
She wants Buffy to go, but this is my safe place. This is where I come for Wi-Fi and coffee. I can't die here.
Where will Willow get her raisins after I'm gone? She can't.
Every
she
time she eats raisinette, she's going to cry now.
Damn it. Where are we going to get... Muffins ruined forever for everyone. Darla, you will always be famous. You are crazy, psychosexual. I'm obsessed.
I love her.
I love you.
I really wish she had gotten away.
I know. I was devastated when she was dusted.
And I get that it's kind of like, that's the only way for Angel to prove himself to Buffy from a storytelling standpoint. If Darla had gotten away, there'd always be the suspicion of, were they working together?
Yes.
So for him to kill Darla, it's kind of the only way that we can move forward with him as one of our heroes.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, not even just as a villain, but also as, like, an ex of his as well. Like, even from, like, a strictly dating standpoint, for him to cut that off is very interesting.
That is a rule that I have. Anytime I date someone, I'm like, so bring your exes in front of me and I need to see you kill them.
I have to watch you defeat your seven evil exes.
I need to watch. I'm not doing it. I need to watch your seven evil exes.
Okay, so, you have an ex? Okay.
Kill them.
You know what you need to do? Kill them.
You need to kill them. You're serious about this? You tried to kill my mom. I forgave you. Now you need to kill your ex.
Your ex.
Hey. That's called healthy boundary setting. Shout out, Angel.
I think so, too.
Angel O'Malley. Shout out, Angel.
You did the right thing. Worst part, best part. Ian, please tell me your worst part of this episode.
My worst part is I just find Angel to be a little too brooding. And I find this episode obviously compelling and interesting. But at times I was like, oh my gosh. And also, like, David Boreanaz gets better as the show goes on. I'm not talking about his current caliber as an actor, but very green David Boreanaz is not helping matters.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you?
I meant to bring this up earlier, but I mean, I'm only going to half bring it up now because it is a conversation we're going to continue to have. But we learned that Angel was cursed by a group of Romani people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, like, perpetuates some harmful stereotypes about Romani people and, like, including, like, saying the G slur. But this is a conversation we're going to continue to have. We have characters who we're going to continue to talk about.
Angel continues to be in this TV show, and the curse that is put on Angel continues to be discussed.
Exactly. So, and I want the listeners to know and the listeners who love Buffy to know that we're going to be talking about it. And it's not something I like about this show, and to reference it now, but also to tell you that we're going to continue talking about it. We can't say it all right now.
Yeah.
But just so you know, it is on our radar and we will be talking about it as much as is appropriate.
But yeah.
Is that my worst part? My worst part is, Joyce, you need to wake up. Joyce, I know we're on a hell mouth. Joyce, I know. Joyce,
I know you're a single mom. I get it. It's really
Joyce,
hard.
Joyce, come in. Come talk to me. Joyce, I know it's you're a single mom. You work really hard. You're at you run this gallery. Even though it's a small town, you're working your fucking ass off. You're wrestling with the IRS in the middle of the night. I know you're working hard. Joyce, you need to wake up. Joyce, there is a man in your house. Joyce, the woman you let in bit you. She bit you.
Joyce, that was not an I saw shadow screen.
Critically. No, it wasn't a nice shot. There were so many moments. I feel like you dropped the ball today, Joyce. And I need you to pick it up and do better next time.
Not a winning episode for Joyce Summers.
Joyce, I love you. Joyce, I'm telling you this. I have never yelled at a girl like this in my life. And I'm saying this because I love you. Learn something from this.
When my mother spoke to me like this, is because she loved me.
It's because she loved me.
And Joyce, as a mother, I love you. I did a pro Joyce moment. Is when she wakes up in the hospital and Giles is there, obviously, to like deliver information to Buffy.
That moment. Oh, yes.
And then she's like, why are you here? And he says, oh, I'm just here to pay her respects. And she's like, wow, the teachers really care at this school.
Yeah. And the way that she's like asking him questions and she's like, and then she says, well, her friend Darla was here earlier. And he goes, Darla was here? And he's like, and then she was like, oh, yeah, she saw me faint. She's probably feeling really, someone should check on her. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go check on her. And
she's like, oh, they're so involved.
Oh, my God, that's so nice. Joyce, were you guys scared? Raise your hand. Me too. I was really, really scared. Raise your hands if you were scared. No, that's my worst part.
Hell yeah.
What's your best part?
My best part is the shootout. I love literally the moment Darla whips out those guns until the moment Darla is dusted. I am not even blinking. I'm staring eagle-eyed at that TV. I don't want to miss a second. It is television. It is camp. It is silly. I'm so obsessed. Julia Benz holding in full vamp face, holding two pistols at her tits and speaking with a lisp. It does not get better than that.
That's Angel, you're the sick. Best You've thing always you been watch. Sick.
Bullets it's can't awesome. Kill vampires.
Bullets can't kill vampires.
But they can hurt like hell. I also love Julie Benz, which she has said in an interview, this is one of the reasons that she got cast as Darla, because they thought it was fun for someone with this kind of speaking voice to be evil. But she has this like cartoony doll voice where she kind of says everything up here. Yeah. And like, I'm obsessed. She's like,
I'm helping Buffy with her revolutions.
Her, oh my gosh.
Don't shut up, you're awesome.
She's so cool. She's so
you're
fun.
You're hurting me. That's good.
You're hurting me. That's good too. Like, girl, I'm obsessed with you, Darla.
Icon of the century,
Icon
Darla.
Icon of the century, big bad above the Vampire
Slayer. Oh my God, it makes
Slayer.
Me shake. I love her so much.
We will
I'm
miss
so
you.
Excited.
Also, her fully.
I can't believe she was dusted.
Also, anti-grooming. Her seeing that Angel is hitting on a high schooler and then rubbing it in her face by being like, oh, I noticed, dressing as a Catholic schoolgirl and being like, oh, I noticed you're into high schoolers. You like, bitch. She said, I see you.
She said,
I see you, predator.
You look ridiculous. Darla, I will miss you so fucking
come
much.
Come back to us. Come back to us.
Your family misses you, Darla.
We still talk about you, Darla.
I can't believe
can
she's
I tell
gone.
You? Can I tell you something? This is like...
She's the Howard Bamboo of this television show.
She's the Howard Bamboo of this television show, her and Harmony. I do want to say one final joke, speaking of Darla, that I forgot about, which is full lisp Darla in the bronze going up to Buffy and saying, do you know what the saddest thing in the world is? And Buffy saying, bad hair with that outfit.
Love. I love Buffy Summers so much. The way that she can't help but read the people that she's about to murder.
I'm obsessed. Gay icon, Buffy, genuinely.
I know. And that's the thing, too, is I'm so glad we're doing the Buffy podcast because the Gleeks need to be watching
I
Buffy
agree.
The Vampire Slayer.
I agree.
And Buffy is gay famous. Mm-hmm. That's true. But I think to the younger generation.
We're losing queer history.
Yes. And we need to pay our respects.
You need
to
remember why the L comes first in LGBTQ. And you need to remember Buffy Summers. We are losing queer history.
Okay. Number one, number two.
Exactly.
Those are the two things. The L is first.
And we Buffy need Summers.
Buffy Summers. Fuck you guys. My best part, if you want to ask.
Sorry, I was talking about Darla.
That's
I got
okay.
distracted with
no.
your best
and
part.
I got distracted. I got distracted too, because I was so excited. So don't you worry. Don't you worry. Okay, my best part is, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're gonna hate it.
I don't care.
Oh my God, the gothic drama of Angel.
Hell yeah,
I love it.
Hell yeah,
I love it. I love. There's only one bed. I love the burn in the neck. I love the killing your ex to prove your loyalty. And also just like, it is interesting. I'm always very interested in a vampire who is remorseful and then becomes like some, you know, like who feels bad about, you know, the self-hating vampire. I always just love that. I always love that. And this one is just the most iconic to me. I think obviously my feelings about Angel are complicated as a character, but this is awesome. And I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
I was so excited to watch this episode. And I hope that the people who are watching it along with us were as excited by these reveals as I was. So
heck yeah. Heck yeah. Oh, that's Angel. The episode, not the TV show, not the character. Mm-hmm. If you want more of our podcast, first of all, there's a whole back catalog. Did you hear we covered Glee? All 120 episodes. Also, we got a Patreon. And on Patreon, we do have a lot of bonus episodes. We just did one last month on Tick Tick Boom, or maybe 2 months ago if this is coming out in July. I honestly don't know when this is coming out. I've lost track.
Me neither.
Yeah, we got a ton of bonus episodes on there. If you become a best friend of the podcast, you can vote on what bonus episodes you want us to cover. You can also see videos of the podcast that have little pre-shows beforehand. And if you're best friend on the podcast, you get a special shout out. So we're going to stick that shout out in now.
Hi, best friends of the podcast. Here's your shout out. Thanks for being patrons. I'm going to try and give Kate Bush. We'll see how it goes.
Olivia Moore, Zyda, Jack, Hannah, Carys, Elizabeth, Depressed, Bubbles, Eden, Nikki, Cowboy Hat, Emoji, Brianna, JP, Tanya, Catherine, Rachel, Drew, Christine, Kaylin, Blake, Rachel, Allison, Megan, Audrey, Megan, Alexandra, Kylie, Dustin, Azai, Jaden, Paul, and Julia, Vicky, Kaylee, Jasmine, Wild, Danica, Shalane, Diagonal, Toast, Kay, Reagan, Phoebe, Poopo, Jose, Jolo, Madeline, Alani, Elise, Blanton, Alice, Paige, Nadia, Nicole, Abby, Kristen, Story, Eileen, Valerie, Amanda, Rebecca, Ari, Marissa, Taylor, Colin, Frankie, Margaret, Spina, Emily, Phoebe, Olivia, Ava, Haley, Emily, Michelle, Jacqueline, Lucy, Lazare, Emma, Steph, my baby cat, Charlie, Kelsey, Thomas, George, Al, Brittany, Kenzie, Michael, Katie, Elizabeth, Freddie.
I think that was giving Tiny Tim, mostly. Oh, well.
Ding, ding, ding. Great job to whichever one of us is whose turn it is. I don't remember.
I think it's yours.
Great job to me. Ding, ding.
I always remember because it's whoever is doing the
fun facts.
The fun facts.
See, and you're smart about that kind of stuff. I'm always flying by the seat of my pants on that. Hey.
I'm a pattern girl. I love a pattern.
I remember slacks, I'm odds, you're evens. I keep that straight. Mm. But Patreon, I'm always like, whichever, whatever vibe I'm feeling.
Well, it's that too. It's I'm evens, you're odds.
Yeah, I just have never put that together. Also,
like, wait, but that's the truth here.
If you're enjoying this podcast, one, follow us on social media at recovery at @rgpresents_podcast. Pardon me, Instagram, TikTok. Send us an email if you got thoughts. recoveringgleek@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Specifically, first time watchers. Did you know he was a vampire? What did you think was going on? I genuinely have to know.
I have to know. I literally had to call a friend last night because I had to know.
She had to use one of her lifelines. She had to phone a friend.
That's the only one I get this season.
Yeah.
Please let me know. Don't make me phone a friend. Email me instead.
Also, I would love to know your thoughts on Queen Mother Darla. I'm obsessed with her. Let us know. Hello, everyone. This is Ian and Lena from the future. Can you believe we're starting a new thing in lieu of Binnie's? We're just going to have a little like email segment in the episodes proper. So this is recorded weeks after we recorded this episode on the pack that you're, I mean, on Angel, pardon me, that you're listening to. It's old news that he's a vampire, but we're going to share some thoughts that people sent us either about just the show generically or about last week's episode, the pack.
Let's hear from Celia, shall we? Also, I have to tell you guys, I've had some mic troubles, okay? I know you just heard them, and I'm sorry, and hopefully this sounds better. I'm on a journey, okay? Be gentle with me. I felt so bad, too, because, like, Angel is such a huge episode, and I know that even people who, like, are just trying to, like, tune in are going to tune into that one, and I was like, God, I really fucked it. So hopefully this sounds a little better, and be gentle with me, you guys. I love you.
We're trying our best.
Be nice.
We're trying our best. Celia says, hi, Lena and Ian. I've been listening on and off since 2020 because I go through phases where I cannot consume Glee content for my mental well-being, LOL.
Heard.
But ever since Minisode 6, the Buffy Long Con, I have been hoping and wishing and praying for you guys to do a Buffy podcast because it is my favorite show of all time and I'm obsessed with your podcast dynamic. I've genuinely never found your podcasting equal. Oh, Celia.
Oh my God. Hello.
Wait a second. Hi. Thank you.
That's so
I'm emailing because I have some interesting information about the whereabouts of the surfer dude, guy in computer class on IMDb, from episode 2, The Harvest. I love your headcanon that Buffy fully murdered him, but I also feel compelled to let you know that his actor, Jeffrey Steven Smith, comes back in episode 6, The Pack. Buffering interviewed him in their coverage of the episode back in 2016, and he mentions that his line in The Harvest is not his actual voice, but another actor's dubbed over. With this knowledge, I feel like there's two possibilities. Either it's the same character both times, or The difference in voices delineates two separate characters, and your theory that he dies is correct. Anyways, I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and I can't wait for you to get to season 2, episode 3, School Hard, where two of the most iconic vampires ever make their debut. I'm sure that I'll continue to email in my thoughts because I have thousands. Keep on slaying, Celia, she, her. Celia, I also can't wait to get to School Hard.
Oh my God. And I can't wait to hear all your thoughts. Keep sending them.
Oh, hell yeah. But for the time being, Computer Guy, he appears in the pack, for those who don't know, he appears in the pack when the titular pack is doing, in Lena's words, their St. Trinian slow-mo walk. And then they start like mess. I have not seen that movie. I'm gonna let you in on a secret. That entire episode, I was like, I have no clue what you're referencing. They then, after the slow-mo walk, they start like messing around with someone's lunch table. Mm-hmm. And that's when they smell Herbert, and then they run and they eat Herbert. Mm-hmm. And Surfer Dude is the dude at the lunch table whose stuff they're messing with. And he has like one line. Oh, I don't remember what the line is. Yeah. So that's him. That's so him. He's Computer Guy who talks to Cordelia and Harmony in the Harvest, and then he's Kid at the table. What are your thoughts? Is it same guy? Is it two separate guys?
I love this. I think it's... I like the idea that it's two separate guys. Like, that makes me excited. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe they're,
I agree.
Maybe they're brothers, maybe they're cousins.
Yes. I love it. I'm seeing a twin situation.
Oh.
Twin one had the dubbed in voice. Twin two mm-hmm. gets his lunch fucked with. And yeah. Twin one is dead. Buffy did stab him at the bronze.
She did.
And that's why Twin two is, like, so... emotional about them messing with his lunch is he's like, haven't I been through enough?
He's had a tough couple months.
He's grieving. He's in the process of grieving. And now someone's going to take his lunch? That's not fair.
No, it's fucked up.
It is crazy to me. One, that they dubbed in his voice in The Harvest. I'm glad they did because it's hilarious.
Oh, it's awesome.
I do find it funny that whoever directed that episode was like, yeah, do it this way. And then they saw the tapes and they were like, this isn't fucking stupid enough. Bring someone else in. He needs to sound stupider. We need someone in the booth. We're going to ADR this so he sounds like a moron.
I need to have a conversation with the person who decided that. Oh my God.
I love it. And also it's interesting because Buffy is a show. This hasn't happened really yet, but it is a show that loves to bring people back and loves to have just kind of like characters that fill out the world. Mm-hmm. So it feels like if they brought him back for the pack that they were going that route, but then he never shows up again.
Yeah, I wonder.
I think the pack kills him.
Oh, well.
His brother died in the Harvest. He dies in the pack.
Damn, this poor family. They're really going through it.
Really unlucky.
It's unlucky. A shame. Yeah.
I know. Damn.
I mean, well, that's a hellmouth for you.
That's the hellmouth for you. And then his sister was in that bus crash.
Shut up. Has this family been through enough?
That's tragic. Anyways, Celia, thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for joining us for these 5 years of podcasting. So happy to have you.
Up next, let's hear an email from Haley, shall we?
Hi, babies. I started Buffy when y'all announced this new chapter of the pod, and I need to take that back because I need this to sink in with everyone.
Yeah.
I started Buffy when y'all announced this new chapter of the pod. Let's all remember we announced this in, what was it, like April? And I just finished literally 3 minutes ago. And all I have to say is, wow. Mm. Thank you both so much. This show has changed my life.
Oh!
It is also making me upset that I have to wait years for y'all to discuss seasons 5 through 7. So I am proposing a Patreon spoiler-filled bonus episode. It can be a completely different tier. I would pay so much money to hear y'all's expedited thoughts on the series as a whole. And it would also be so interesting to see how your opinions on things change after you're done with the rewatch. Anyway, I love you guys for enriching my life in countless ways. I'm rooting for y'all every step of the way. And okay, fine, I'll be patient. Buffy is just so Lena and Ian and also very me-coded. Mm. And it is the perfect show. And I'm about to be so annoying about it. consensual hugs and kisses, Haley.
Okay, Haley, you don't know how much this email means to Ian and I.
Yeah.
This fills my heart with love and joy. You have no idea what you said to us. Thank you literally so much for telling us. And I am so deeply pleased to hear that you feel like Buffy is you coded, because I feel that too. And it is so lovely to hear that, you know, us Gleeks and us, like, we like share that, and then also we can like share Buffy as well. Like, I cannot tell you how much I love to hear this. Thank you so much, and I'm sincerely so glad that you enjoyed Buffy.
It's so ridiculous whenever someone like watches Buffy for the first time and absolutely loves it.
Yeah,
I feel pride as if I had
as if I wrote it.
But it's just like, you had the same experience. We're too young to have watched it live. So like, we were watching it alone. Like, I did not know a soul who was watching Buffy. And the friends I had who were watching Buffy were only watching it because I had to convince them to watch it. And then, much like Haley, they loved it.
Uh-huh.
So it's so nice.
No, I know.
To hear that it's hitting. I know. And that people love it.
That is my exact experience right now. Like, I remember finding out that you liked Buffy, and like, you were like one of my first friends ever who liked Buffy, and I was just so excited. And like, Buffy has been my comfort by myself thing for so long, and it feels so crazy to share it like this, but also it feels so good. It feels awesome. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm having such a good time, and I'm so glad.
As far as like a spoiler thoughts Patreon, I'm not going to, who knows? Maybe we'll do that. I don't know. But we did, when we were wrapping up Glee and we knew we were going on to another show, we did a series of like pilot episodes of different TV shows we were thinking about that we released straight onto Patreon. And each of those episodes, we were not like, we like watched the pilot and we're talking a little bit about the pilot, but it was fully spoiler filled. We were just talking about our thoughts on the show as a whole. And so we're chatting about some season 5 through 7 stuff on our Buffy episode on our Patreon. So
we do.
That could sate your appetite a little bit.
We talk
about some stuff.
Oh, and also if you want spoilers right now, we were on the Swift Lore podcast talking Buffy and Taylor Swift. And we talked crazy hella spoilers on that episode. So if you want spoilers, RN, and just quick thoughts of ours, you can also tune into that as well. But also, I'm so excited to talk about everything with you.
I'm very excited to get to all that. I'm excited for the journey. Excited to do this with you. Excited to have you listening. And thanks for emailing in. If you have thoughts, send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. And now back to the episode proper. Bye.
Bye. Love you.
If you like this podcast, you guys, it'd be really cool if you rated and reviewed it.
Yeah.
We genuinely love doing this podcast. We have a great time. We love spending time together. We love this TV show. We love hearing from all of you. This podcast is a lot of work, and we would love it to reach more people. And one of the best ways to get it to reach more people is for it to get more ratings, because then it gets recommended to more people. So if you're having a good time, we'd really appreciate a little rate and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Shout out. And Booyah.
Love you guys.
Love you. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you later. We'll see you next week for
I Robot You Jane.
Here is a kiss on your forehead if you accept it. We'll see you later.
Bye. Thank you for listening. Follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast. Email us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Rate and review us and tell your friends, please. I'm so, so glad they brought out pistols. I am pro gun control. I don't like guns. Yeah, I'm so glad Darla had a gun.
Give Darla a gun.